issues. Not that that's not a great excuse, but any of you better not, I guess. Spent 5 days in the Heart Center in Annapolis for last week, so to be here tonight, it's a blessing from God. But as we sang those songs, talking about love and all those things, how blessed we are to have a God that loved us enough that he would send forth his Son to die on the cross to save us from our sins and give us eternal life. And not only that, I have a place in heaven waiting for us when we do close our eyes today. What a great joy that is. Amen?
Amen.
You have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. But before we get into the message tonight, I know that Brother Wayne is praying for our pastor. But let's go to the Lord in prayer again. And for him to miss two bills in a row. I don't have to explain to you that he is sick or he would be here. Right, Tammy?
Yes, true.
So, let's pray, shall we? Father, we thank you tonight that you're able to bless us to be here. Lord, just a few days ago, my heart was racing so that I could hardly breathe. Lord, I thank you this evening for the breath that I breathe and for heart that's running, Father, and sinus rhythm rather than in the AFib. And Lord, it just makes me feel so good that you are such an awesome God. I thank you for that. I ask, Lord, your blessing now upon our pastor, Father, as he fights this bug or whatever he's got. Lord, I know we keep hearing reports about bug. Father, all we know to do is keep calling upon you and leave her in your hands and ask God for your divine touch upon her physically, mentally, and emotionally. Lord, I just pray now that your Holy Spirit will come down upon this place, and when we leave here, Lord, we'll be able to say that we've been in the house of God. We love you, pray for tonight in Jesus' name. And amen. Let me read. Is this same read?
Yes,
want to read verses 1 and 2, 1 John chapter 3, and then we'll go from there. It says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, or we shall see him as he is. The thought I want to use tonight is in verse 1, he said, behold, what love. What love, behold, what love. All types of meanings given for the word love. Love is not a warm, fuzzy feeling so often we have for the opposite sex. You know. Does that make sense? But the same love that we say we have for our spouse or God, we'll say, I love my dog. I love my cat, my car, my house, my kids, my wife, and etc. But oh, there's a greater love than that. Amen? In my counseling, so often, I ask people, what's the difference between commitment and surrender? And you'll get all kinds of answers. And they'll kind of convince you that commitment and surrender are the same, but they're not. Commitment has limitations, and I'll commit to a certain degree, or I'll commit to a certain thing, and if it don't work out, then I'll back out or I'll quit. I'll make a commitment to my wife, and if something comes along better, then I'll forget that commitment and have that warm, fuzzy feeling and find someone else, you know, to love on. Am I making sense? So we're so mixed up on love. Wow. See, or expectations to get love sent back to us in return. Aren't you glad of that? Jesus loved me, He loved you. Even while we were yet in our sin, God sent forth His Son to love us. Love us unconditionally. We say we love one another, but so often we really don't love one another. We go through that thing, well, that's what we Christians are supposed to do. Yeah, we're to love one another. The Bible said love one another. You see, true love is unconditional. Love is powerful. Could we not say that? Very, very powerful. Love. We find this said in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8. He said, above all things, have fervent love one for another. Love covers a multitude of sins. Wow. See, if we love one another, we sometimes get in the flesh and we get peeved at one another, right? Some people just flat out get underneath your skin, right? Huh? Come on, be honest. Am I right? But if you truly love them, you accept them just the way they are, and rather than turning up a sour lip for them, you do what? Love them just the now, over the years in pastoring, I've run into some pretty doozies. You know what I'm saying? I have found people that I love, but I love the way they look when they went out the door rather than when they come in the door. Now, some of you may not understand that, but, you know, well, anyway, we better move on, right? Turn with me to, we'll get back to this text here in a minute. Just lay on the ground. But turn with you to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and let's look at a passage of Scripture. Matthew chapter 5, and verses 43 through 48. Look at this. He said, love, you have heard that it has been said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, and pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you, that you may be the sons of your Father in heaven, for He maketh His the sun rises on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. If you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not the tax collector do the same? If you greet your brethren only, what you do, do more than others. Does not even the tax collector do? Therefore, you shall be rich. You shall be perfect just as your Heavenly Father is perfect. Last week, or week before last, I called a pastor friend of mine in Winchester, Kentucky. A guy named Joe Price. I preached a revival down there a couple of years ago. Him and I are very, very close friends. And I know if I called Joe that the prayer would go up. I called him and explained to him what was going on. He said, I will get on the phone, and he said, I will call my prayer coordinator in her church. They'll get the word out, and they'll pray for you, and I'll make some other calls as well. He called someone else he's a friend with, in not in a Baptist church, and said, I have a friend in Indiana that's having heart issues, and I want you to pray for him. And they said, we didn't know we were supposed to pray for other people who's in another church. He said, I about fell out of my chair. Now, what kind of love is that? Father? It's hard to love your enemies, isn't it? It's easy to tell your wife, your children, I love you. Some of the sweetest words that I ever hear But I always try to close my greetings, whatever it may be, I love you. And then get a response back, I love you too. Yet. Isn't that perfect? That's when we need to use that more often. But we need to use it with all the sincerity of our heart. Amen? And now those that spite to use you, those that do all sorts of things against you, that you consider your enemy, is it easy to love them? Oh, yeah, I'm a Christian. Well, you may say that. But it's hard to love your enemy at the same level that you would love someone else. When Pastor Chris came riding up to Alexandria a few years back on a motorcycle looking for a job. We went out to eat, and I found out that day that boy liked to eat. But we sat down and we began to talk. And I shared with him my heart. And I knew right away, here's a man that's got the same heart that I do. See, I don't want to throw dirt in my eyes, knowing that I didn't try with everything in me to tell those that I meet about the love of Jesus Christ. And I believe without question, our pastor has the same heart. And I love him like a son, and so often I tell him that. And I'm honored tonight to be for him to be my pastor. We're very blessed. Turn with me to the book of John now, and we'll get back to where I was started from. Talk about love. After all, this is Valentine's Day, right? If you ain't got the smack on the cheek today, you may try to do something good for that one that you love, and maybe you'll get a smack on the cheek. It's possible, isn't it? I surprised my wife today, and I called yesterday, and I said, I want a vase of flowers delivered. When do you want them delivered? I said, sometime tomorrow afternoon. Well, they got an afternoon mixed up with this morning, but they came. And I was back in my office, and I heard the doorbell ring. It so happened she was up and dressed, and which is unusual, but she was. And the doorbell rang, and she opened the door, and there a lady stood with this nice big vase of flowers. They said, we're looking for Nancy Williams. You see, all I said to her was, see, I didn't think I should know. We need to do those things. I'm not saying go out and buy a vase of flowers, so at least you've got a pretty neat pocket. I'll get you a piece of toilet paper or something. And write on it and say, I love you. Is that all right? Get the message across. Now, I know you, when you listen to me, you listen to someone that's nuts. That's all right. God made me just the way you look at me. And I'm not going to change it. Amen? In John 14, verse 15, notice this. He said, if you love me, what did he say? Break my commandments? Do with them whatever you want to. What did he say? If you love me, keep my commandments. I believe he said, love one another as I have loved you. Amen. Does that make sense? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Look at John 15, 12 and 14. He said, most assuredly I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that he will do also, greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified or something. If you ask anything in my name, I will do this. I read from John 14, and you can read from John 15. See how far we get there before I need to go somewhere. John This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Wow. Greater love has no man than this, that he lay down one's life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command. I'm not going to ask you tonight. He said, you love me. If you love me, you what? We'll keep my commandments. So if we're not loving him and not keeping his commandments, then that's the other dude he's talking about, right? Love. Now let's go back to the text that I read. Down through the years, I have referred to this passage of Scripture, spoke on it a few times, and never wrote to it. Pastor Chris called me and said, can you preach tonight? I said, I'll try to put something together, and I'm on it to do it. This passage of Scripture comes to my mind. Been a very busy day, but I had about 2 hours. I sat down about 2 hours and tried to make some sense. But I want you to notice the very first word in this. He said, behold. I believe he's saying, take notice. Does that make sense? Take notice. I've got something to point out to you. I want you to listen to what I have to say. Then he says, what love? And that's where I got the title of the message. Behold, what love, or what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Wow. I believe he's saying, take notice. Take a good thought or consider who we were before God, what? So, that make sense? What manner of love the Father bestowed upon us? Now consider who we were, the sinful life that we were living, that God would love someone as ornery and as corrupt as I am. But he did, aren't you glad? You see that? And even after those that I'm saved and you're saved, still consider that God loves you, even though in somewhere in your flesh and in your heart there's still what? Sinful construction, but he loves us just the same.
Amen.
No wonder he said, behold what manner of love. It's amazing, isn't it? Amen. That he'd say, I love you no matter what. As I work at the funeral home, and I've done funerals down through the years, and worked part-time in the funeral home. And see, families feuding where the point where you have to call the law just to try to keep peace. Or they'll tell the funeral director, if so-and-so comes, I want you to bar him from coming in the door. They may be talking about a brother or a sister or an aunt or an uncle or someone. But the funeral director said, I can't do that. This is a public place, and this is a funeral. If you don't want them to come in, you stand at the door, and you tell them they're not coming. You say, that don't happen. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. I've seen people fall out. I'll never forget. I got a call, made a point from the Ladies Community Center years ago. I drive back and forth from Muncie to Alexander before I really got started in the church, and just 4 or 5 of us meeting, and I had the whole church at the center. There at the community center where the senior citizens eat. And I made friends with several of those people, ended up doing several funerals. And this lady named Mary, I forget her last name, she ended up at the nursing home in Elwood, the one that's still over there now. And I got a call that she wanted to talk to me. I went to her bedside and she said, will you do my funeral? I said, I'd be honored to do Mary. A few days later, I get a phone call from them and said, she's dead. So I go to the funeral home and standing there, and I was the only one there, and I had a our son in him. And lo and behold, the guy that she wanted from the funeral home to come to pick her up wasn't there. And he threw the connection to it. Funeral home people were very professional. He wanted Mike Owens, which is one of the finest men you'll ever meet in Alexandria, Indiana. But there's another older gentleman named Larry Scott. He runs Nozick's funeral home. And the corporation together, they were under the same umbrella, and Mike was not available. He went there. He didn't want to. And he said, I'm taking him out of here. If you don't like it, we'll call him. God has seen about everything. All in the name of love. That much hatred, then you get ready to do the funeral, they want you to preach them into heaven. Are you with me? Hello? Is that the person? I mean, you sit down and you know the family's lost and there's no record of it. But they try to think of everything out of the world, make them think, man, that's a sin in there. And I want you to preach it into heaven. You hear about the guy that died and he was laying there in the coffin and the preacher's up preaching, you know. And he was just going on and on and on and on. How what a good guy this was. What a marvelous work he done within the community. Mother sitting there next to her little son. She said, Johnny, get up there and go check and see if that's your daddy in that coffin. Love. Huh? Are you with me? Now consider another aspect of this love, the whole what manner. That I was an outcast, that I was a Gentile, and that my God adopted me into his family, where he said, I'm now what? One of the sons of God. Wow. Isn't that love? In the Jewish community, you and I was considered as dogs and trash and worth nothing. But God said, I love those people, and I'm going to adopt them into my family, give them all the rights as though any else wanted blue. Guess what? Regardless who you are, what background you have, what you've done in life, God still loves you. His love is going out and bidding you and calling you, amen, to a repentance that you may invite him into your hearts. And then he'll say, that's my boy, that's my girl. And when that time comes, that's why you'll be the one who holds up to be with the Lord. Is that how it is? The whole what matters, huh? Well, I love that passage too. And see, when I was growing up, I had a wonderful dad. Some of you may never experience one, but I had a wonderful dad. He worked from daylight, he'd go to work before daylight and walk. Sometimes up to 5 miles or so to work. Work in the coal mines and walk back home and be dark when they got back. Mom did most of the rearing of her children, if you understand that terminology. But there was something about my dad that stood out. You just know he was a wonderful man. And Mom, all Mom had to say was, if you don't behave yourself, I'm going to kill your dad. And all Dad had to do was put that melt in your chin. But at the same time, he was so compassionate. If he had something his children had, amen? Now consider what I just said and now to my dad. When we have a father that loves us so much, all the privileges that heaven has to hold is ours for the asking.
Amen.
Isn't that right? Though I was an outcast, amen, in fetters and chains, amen, bound in sin, on my way to hell, and God who loved me, brought me into his family. He said, there it is, boy. Amen. I had a lady tell me one time, well, I can't come to church there no more, but I don't get fed. The problem is, you know, you got 40 feet up at the table and eat what's on the table, or you get something. You know, problem. See, some folks want to be tickled behind the ears and made feel good. Well, I better get off of that. experience I had was the tenderness of my father. The tenderness of my father. Oh, you know, I never heard him one time raise his voice to work on me. I only remember him one time whipping one of the kids, and that was my oldest brother. But all he had to do was speak. He didn't speak hateful. He didn't knock us down and call us this or that. And I hate to think, you know, the guys raising up and their dad used their fist on top of it. I didn't have a dad like that. I had a dad who loved me. So no matter what I do, no matter what you do, guess what? God don't love you any less. And he tenderly loves you and try to woo you back into what a relationship with him. Is that not love? How blessed we are. Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. Now get this. I got one brother. But in a general way, Jesus Christ is my brother and he is your brother. Am I right? God the Father, and he said, Jesus is his son. Then he says, I'm his son, or I'm his daughter. That means in a general sense that Jesus is my brother. The only difference is I am full of sin and Jesus is divine and holy, but he's still my brother. Is that all right? Wow. Are we content? Are we content being known as a son? Or are we uncontent? See, notice this. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. The world may not recognize you and say, hey, you're a son and a daughter of Christ. Can you, with all the humility that you have, bite your tongue, amen, swallow it hard, think before you engage your mind. And say, I still love you. Sometimes it's hard, isn't it, to not fight back and resist when the enemy comes at you. But let me share this with you. If you're not suffering or not going through some kind of trials or persecution by the enemy, you better examine. They love him. He did nothing wrong. Does that make sense? He raised the dead, gave sight to the blind. He fed the multitudes. He healed the crippled. He done all of these things. And yet they what? Persecuted. He said they persecuted me without a cause. And they persecuted you also. But he very humbly accepted that persecution. The Bible even says he like a lamb. Led before the shooter, he never what other. But you know what? First time in that way. Are you with me? Boy, I tell you what, I've been called that just about anything there is. And still said, I still love you and I still pray for you. That's hard to do. Now, some of them get mad at you, they cuss you out and say, I'll never be back to church tomorrow. A few Sundays later, they come in and you greet them as though they never met you. Can you do that? Don't you know? Oh, I want to defend my feelings, right? No, your feelings is crucified. You got crucified with Christ. It's not only you who live, but Christ in you. Therefore, we need to live in such a way that we bring no shame, no disgrace in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you put on a banner and say, I'm a Christian, then it means live like Christ lived and love your enemies, be humble and greet and love people no matter what.
That's right.
All moved where we are now, we're right on the corner of an old alley on Broad Street, Broadway. And building was so dilapidated and the floors were rotted out. Had to go in and cut a section of the floor and all, but floor and that, the termites had it ate up. And I was afraid to jump up and down and get inside. I mean, they went down in the basement with the termites. I'm not exaggerating. My where I had my office, literally, you know, here's my desk, and back here, well, my desk and here, my chair was at. And it all depends on where I was at. I got to find my chair and get up next to it, get rolled back against the wall. That's how long it is. So help me, that's how I'm even watch. You follow me? But I got there one morning pretty early, and here comes this guy down the aisle. All dressed up in a suit and tie. I'd never met him before. I spoke to him. I could tell right away he was a very troubled man. If you talked to him tonight, he'd tell you that Harrison Williams loved me that morning. And if he hadn't, I would have committed suicide. That's where he was going. Wow. God, you never know where you are. Can you love someone? You meet them for the first time. And they're dirty. They stink. You can tell what they eat breakfast or supper 3 days ago because it's on their face and on their shoes. And you love them the same way you love them, right? That's love, isn't it? Wow. But I notice this passage, and I know you got food to eat, and I'm trying to get down. Hand me a cold bucket at me. I'm not going to do it. Look at verse 2. Beloved, now we are children of God. And not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Oh, there are so many people that's not living in the now. They're living in some other area of their life that they were way back there, where they didn't have a daddy or mama to love them. Where someone treated them wrong or some bad event happened to them and they can't get over it and they're stuck there and they can't move ahead. You may be in that condition tonight, amen? But I'm telling you that God loves you. All he wants you to do is come and lay it down at his feet, and guess what? You'll be free, and you'll be able to live in the now and not in the past.
Amen.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
But see, the only way I can live for the future, yes, I may need to look back and see where I was, but look where I am now, that I may want to look to where I'm going to be tomorrow. Amen. If you're blinded in the past, you can't live in the now. I believe you. Romans 8:1 says, now there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Amen. What does that mean? It means that my sins are washed away, and he looks at me, I've been justified as though that I have never sinned before. Why water in past sins and live a defeated life when you can live now and to be free and enjoy all the blessings that God has to hold one of his children?
Love.
Lungs.
Deep.
Wow. But now, there is times when we're in the depths of sorrow, grief, down in the valley, does God still love us? That's still in the mountain. There was a baptism that was very good. The second day after I was in the hospital, this lady stuck her head. She walked into the room, and if you ladies around me often, and there's no thing intended, it's just who I am. I call about every lady, honey, or sweet. Yeah, that's what I am. And those nurses would come in, and I'd say, well, how are you this morning? And, you know, and next thing you know, I'd say, sweetie, you're hungry, you know. And one of them looked at me and she said, how can you smile or worry with all this stuff that's going on with you? You know? Well, wait, well, the first off, she said, I like that smile. And then it was it. That was the end of the conversation. She went behind the curtain getting the medicine ready. Then she pulled the curtain back. She looked at me again and she says, how can you smile and be so upbeat when you've got all this going for you? Guys, here's how to live. The secret of life. I said, I walk by faith and not by sight. I don't look at my circumstances. I look ahead to Jesus Christ, and He holds all the future in His hands. And she says, I like that. Amen. Are you good? Once they found out I was a preacher, man, they come. They wanted to talk. Now here I am with heart trouble, and I'm praying with these nurses. I do it everywhere I go. I pray for the Indianapolis, pray for Anthony, and here I am praying at Carmel. And this poor little lady come in, her name was Stephanie. And she said, I hear you. I said, yeah. I said, I'm not senior pastor anymore. I said, I'm semi-retired and got a young man pastor church where I go. I said, I do all I can to help him and preach wherever I get a chance. And she led into talk, and she said, I know pastors have to retire. And she said, my pastor retired. And she said, oh, I miss him so much. And I said, well, what kind of church you go to? She said, we're connected with the Church of God in Anderson, Indiana. I said, there's some great people in the Church of God in Anderson, Indiana. I said, I know some of the greatest friends I've got in the Church of God. So they believe in death and burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Right.
And even that, so I can put them home this morning. Right with me? But if we continue to talk, she would talk about how sorrowful she was that her pastor said, I used to sit in the pew, and she said, the tears would run down my face, and the Spirit moved over me and here said, he was not. So now we got a good pastor, and it just means the same. And I'm trying to decide what to do. And she's walking with face in front, and I'm sitting there in a chair with her. I said, Stephanie, honey, would you like that? She made about 2 steps forward, let him reach out. He got me with him. See, guys, no matter what your circumstances are, still live in the past. Does that make sense? Wow. That's powerful, isn't it? You know, now notice as I try to come to a close, he uses the term what we shall be. Well, we know we shall be as He is. I don't know how it's going to happen. I'll leave it up to the miraculous hand of God. But I know one thing. The Holy Spirit will want to purify our minds. We no longer will lust and hunger after worldly things. We no longer have desires for other things because the Holy Spirit will purify our minds. We might worry. We don't know what we want to be like, but that's one thing we want to be. But another thing I'm so thankful for. Over the years, I've had 4 spinal surgeries tied together right now, S1 through L5. Had both feet operated on. Had an eye taken out and it tried to fix it so I didn't see 2 of you. You know, I didn't see 2 of you. Don't make it twice as you can or twice as ugly. Sarah, you remember Chris Grand Hospital when I was there? You remember that, right? Had 2 heart surgeries, 14 cardio surgeries. Amen. One stay after another in the hospital. But I'm glad when I go to heaven, I won't have Mr. Arthur Ryan to wake me up in the morning. Are you with me? Then I'm going to be given what a glorified body like unto the Son of God. And that's good enough for me. Amen. How did that happen? Because I am one of His children. Because in love, a little hillbilly boy that was so backward he would miss school, so he didn't have to attend class. I didn't want to talk to anybody. Now you can't shut me up. God worked in my heart. Amen. Aren't you glad? Aren't you glad of that? Yeah, this old body, as you see it, it's going to be what? Buried in weakness. But it'll be raised in power. It's going to be buried corruptible. But it's going to be what? Raised uncorruptible. Mm-hmm. Isn't that correct? And at that time, we will hear the voice of God call us. And we will rise. And the Thessalonians says that we'll meet the Lord in the air forever. Why? Because behold, what manner of love that God has so upon us that we should be what called a son of God. If you don't know that you are a son or a daughter, then I'll be standing right down here. You come and you talk to me, and I'll share with you, or one of these other brothers and sisters, be glad to talk with you and show you to have this relationship and this assurance that you're on your way. You got something else on your heart? You just come and leave here? Guess what? Come with the Lord.